Hello and welcome to day three of End of Life University. This is Dr. Karen Wyatt. I hope you're enjoying the series so far. We're halfway through and beginning our second half. The theme for today is home and health, and I'm very excited to present for you the speakers we have today. But first, just a couple of reminders. Be sure to check your emails each day, and in the morning you'll receive a reminder of the interviews for the day, plus all of the information you need for calling in to listen to those interviews live or to the replays. Replays of all the interviews will be available for 24 hours after they are broadcast live. Remember, it's never too late to invite your friends if you know someone else who might like to take part in this series. Have them go to eoluniversity.com. They can register at any time, and they'll get all the information they need to tune in and join us. And then finally, one last time, you can also upgrade if you're interested to the Scholars Package, where you will receive recordings of all the interviews that you can either download to your computer, or you'll have access to a private page where you can listen to them at any time at your convenience. And the cost of that upgrade package is just $36. 50% of all the proceeds from the sale of that upgrade package are going to be donated to Wish of a Lifetime Foundation. And if you recall, on day one, we heard an interview with Jeremy Bloom, the founder of Wish of a Lifetime. So that money is all going to be used to help provide wishes, lifelong wishes, for needy seniors in all around our country. So if you do purchase the upgrade package, you'll be doing yourself a favor by gaining access to all of the interviews, but you'll also be helping out a needy senior. So give that some thought. You can find out more about that upgrade package by going to the website, eoluniversity.com. Click on the tab that says Upgrade, and you'll learn about the package, and you'll have an opportunity to purchase it there if you're interested. So with that being said, let's move on to today's interviews, and thank you once again for being here. Hello and welcome to End of Life University. This is your host, Dr. Karen Wyatt, and today we're discussing aging in place. It takes a village. Vicki Epstein is my guest today, and she earned an MSW from St. Louis University in Missouri and did most of her early work in medical settings, including a 5-year stint at O'Connor Hospital in San Jose. Vicki served as recruitment director for Child Advocates and director of program services for the Addison Penzac Jewish Community Center in Los Gatos. In addition, Vicki worked with the National Conference for Community and Justice, designing diversity programming for elementary and secondary schools in San Jose, and trained volunteers to deliver these programs. Vicki's impressive array of experience has been helpful in her role as director of Avenidas Village, which she has held since 2007. She is responsible for not only program evolution and the directions the village takes, but she is also operational, providing health-related member services as needed. Avenidas Village is one of the largest villages in the country with 365 members and is the first village on the West Coast. Vicki is a native Wisconsinite and is married with 2 children and 3 grandchildren. Vicki, thank you so much for being in this interview series today, and welcome.
You're most welcome. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I wanted to start. There's a couple of things I'd love to have you just tell our listeners more about. But to begin with, the term aging in place, what do we mean by that term? And I actually haven't heard it until just recently. So could you explain more to us about that?
Sure, absolutely. I would say aging in place, and oftentimes you will hear aging in community as well, is really one of the newest trends in the aging field. And we're really referring to alternatives, and an alternative to the options that are out there for folks as they retire and they look at their future. It is a virtual retirement community in the case of the village, and older adults want to stay independent in their own homes, but they want to, of course, have access to support systems, and that's what really the village does. You know, research across the board, I know, and I'm thinking of some research that was done by AARP fairly recently, says that 90% of people, when they're asked, really say that if they have their druthers, they would appreciate being able to stay in their own homes. So we know that 90% is a pretty significant number of folks who would choose that option.
And so what obstacles are there for many elderly when they try to remain in their own homes?
The obstacles, I believe, are ones that come to mind for most of us as we think about getting older and the kind of problems that can present as we age. And, of course, the village concept really deals with all of those, the kind of resolution to those kinds of needs. For instance, we may, as we get older, no longer feel comfortable driving. So transportation becomes a real issue. So we're really looking at maybe losing our driver's license in some cases or surrendering it voluntarily because we just don't think that we are driving as well as we used to. So that becomes a huge challenge. And what villages are doing, of course, is providing transportation as one of the needs for all of those folks who are not driving anymore. We have a number of different providers. We have a volunteer transportation team as well that we can connect folks with in order to get them everywhere they need to go. You know, of course, doctor, dental visits, et cetera, very important, but also all of the social needs that they have because we think socialization and staying connected to our community, to our families, to our friends is essential as well. So transportation can be solved, having people come, pick them up to get wherever they need to go. So transportation is a huge area. Also, as we get older, oftentimes the kind of day-to-day activities that we have taken care of all of our lives and just help us to function during the day become more difficult. And I'm talking about the things like laundry, like meal preparation, like keeping a house in order. All of those things get more difficult than they used to. And so we have a variety of different vendors or service providers that speak to those needs as well, including home health and home care agencies, which provide people who will come in and assist our members with those kinds of tasks.
And so maybe at this point we should talk about what a village is, since we've used that term. Would you explain a little bit about that concept of the village?
Sure. As I mentioned initially, you know, a village is really a virtual retirement community. And it was founded, the whole design of the village really was born in, 2001 with the original village, Beacon Hill Village, in the Boston area, actually in the Beacon Hill area of Boston. And it was looked at as one more alternative for people who do not want to go into any kind of retirement community setting, have to leave their home, but they were well aware that they were going to develop needs. So they wanted to stay in their home. And they wanted to be able to feel safe and secure there. And that's what these villages do. They really give 24/7 assistance to people, one phone number that they can call from their home, whatever their need is, whatever their issue. And in response, when a member calls, the villages are working with a whole network of different service providers that they can call in depending upon what that particular need is. And so member calls, they have a plumbing need, for instance, or an electrical need, or maybe a need that I've already described, a transportation need. The villages then look at this whole series of different vetted providers that offer discounts for the villages or the village members, and they decide upon which one is probably going to be the most appropriate to get this need met at the lowest cost possible and, of course, meeting this need ideally. So that, in a nutshell, is really what villages do. In addition, villages are very concerned about keeping people connected to their families, their friends, their communities. And so for every one of the villages, and there are many, many villages in the country now, probably about 95, and many more in the developmental stages, these villages provide social programming. And they provide it depending upon their community of people, how much social programming that community is needing and wanting. But social events where all of the members are brought together, given the opportunity to really get to know one another and form meaningful relationships and really begin to feel like a community of a village in the way we would envision a village feeling years ago. And so we think that our social events, the social events that are very large scale, that bring all of the members together, as well as kind of the more intimate neighborhood groups that we have broken into, really give our members the opportunity to connect, to feel connected in a larger way, and to provide for the kind of social stimulation that we want, that all of us want, and we want for all of our members and ourselves as we grow older.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a good point, the socialization. One of our earlier speakers was talking about the fact that in many studies, longevity seems to be connected with this social connectedness, with having people to relate to, whether they're family or friends or just community members, that connectedness is extremely important for longer life.
Exactly.
So that's such a great service that's being offered by the village. And I'm thinking of my own mother. My mom passed away in January. She lived in her own home right up until right to the very end.
Uh-huh.
But it was a great struggle. I live in a different state, and so she was constantly having a plumbing problem or a problem with her furnace or something. And I honestly, I didn't know who was safe to call in for help for her or who she should get a hold of. It was a real challenge, worrying that someone might come over who wasn't reliable or trustworthy and be in her house trying to repair something for her. And so I can see all sorts of benefits that the village concept really offers.
Exactly, exactly. You are describing situations that are repeated over and over every time we bring on or invite a new member into the village, into the program. I mean, many of our members have children and extended families who have moved away. You know, that's very common. We don't all live in the same general area, and they're out of state, and they are calling like you were, your mom, and hearing about a problem and trying to do their best from afar for their loved one, but it's very difficult to be able to locate that person who you're going to be able to trust, who's going to feel like they're going to be responsible, and as I say, trustworthy, that their rates are going to be reasonable, that they are going to be they are going to have had some experience in dealing with older adults. And of course, with the village, we are vetting all of these folks who we consider our service providers. We're putting them through a really stringent vetting process. And one of the things that we think is as important as good quality service is their ability to be sensitive to older adults and to, of course, have the trustworthiness, the sense of responsibility that is essential as well. And in addition, we negotiate discounts for the village members, so that is a nice to have as well. But I think most important is this feeling that this person is coming in to fix your plumbing problem or an electrical problem is somebody who you really truly can trust.
And so do you have just general volunteers from the community, too, who might volunteer to, like, run errands or provide transportation?
We do. There are a number of different ways that we provide service. Our primary, I would say, service delivery system is through our vetted vendors. We started out with 30 back in 2007, and now we have 200 vetted vendors, all discounted folks and all folks who we have can assure have all of the qualifications and the personalities that we think are ideal in dealing with our members. But then in addition, there are a lot of other needs that come up that volunteers, actually members oftentimes who are serving as volunteers within the frame of the program, that they can provide to one another. And those kinds of needs are, of course, the friendly visiting need when members are first coming out of a hospital setting. We are providing a lot of services through our vetted vendors, but also it is very nice to have another member who they may have met, who they may even know quite well, come in and see them on a kind of a routine basis, if not daily, a couple of times a week, make sure that they're getting all of their needs met in the more professional ways, as well as have a little social stimulation. So the volunteers provide friendly visiting services. They also provide transportation. We have a whole team of volunteers who provide transportation to those members who are not driving anymore. We also do daily calls for many of our members. It's an optional service, but many of our single members like a daily call in the morning, and those daily calls are all provided through other members. So it's one more opportunity for them really to get to know other members just over the phone. You know, great relationships in many cases have formed just through that phone contact. In addition, we have a program that we added along the way called MedPals. These are all volunteers, and they are all members who have gone through a training and accompany other members to doctor's visits. Often, many of our single members do not have anybody, no child who is local child who can accompany them or a partner any longer who can accompany them. So they like somebody to come along who can take the notes, who can help them to ask clarifying questions as the doc is talking to them, and to make sure that that visit has really been a productive one, that they've gotten all of their questions answered, and that somebody else is taking those notes while they're concentrating on the interaction that's going on between them and the doc. So the MedPals has been a wonderful additional program, as I say, that we've added along the way. We've added a number of programs because we have seen that our members need that, or our members have come to us and said, hey, I really think that this is a need for all of us as we age. Can we think about how we're going to best meet it? And we've gone about working with the members on putting a program together that really meets the needs in a volunteer way. And that's what these villages do. They're very consumer-driven. We're listening very carefully to the members, and the members are empowered, really, in terms of what this village is going to look like. And that is going to be sensitive to that particular community and the particular needs that that community has.
I love the idea that this really is a grassroots movement that's springing up, as you said, where the need is. It's in response to a need, and then every village might look a little different in every community because it depends on the issues that are faced in that particular community.
Exactly.
It's such a wonderful solution to some of the problems that our elderly face as they're growing older. And it makes me wish that it had been available to my mom. Every single one of the issues that we faced with her, the obstacles we had to overcome, even the fact that her washer and dryer were in the basement and she couldn't go down the stairs anymore, you know, every issue that turned out to be a huge thing for us to try to fix, we would have had so many resources to deal with that had there been a village.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing as you were talking, how a village could have helped your mom in such a variety of different ways. Yeah.
Yes, it's really amazing to me and impressive to me, and then it's also a process that's evolving as you go, it sounds like. So you add a new program when you see a need arise and figure out a way, how do we address that need? What do we have to have in place?
Exactly.
And I think that's the perfect way for us to solve some of the problems that we have, not only the problems we're talking about here of aging, but many of the problems in our society could be dealt with, it seems like, with a similar model.
Yes, I agree.
And I love that you have this member-to-member outreach so that those members who are more functional and still able to drive, they must derive a great sense of meaning and purpose out of being able to help someone else, and, you know, being able to reach out and connect with others.
Oh, my goodness, yes. In fact, that I think has been one of the areas that as we got operational, as we founded the program, really got a lot of experience over those first couple of years, what we realized was the, as you're saying, the tremendous value and benefit it was for the volunteers as well as that person they were volunteering for. Of course, in volunteering, providing some transport, providing some task, they were helping a member who was in need. But they also, on the other hand, were feeling such a sense of satisfaction at being able to do this. It really was a win-win situation every step of the way. And we see that in our member testimonials. Our best way to communicate with our larger membership is through our newsletter, which we do every other month. And part of that newsletter is a member testimonial that we put in there, and it has been time after time that our members who are also volunteering, who have some needs, but who are also volunteering to help members in other ways, talk about how gratified they are at and actually surprised at how important that has become for them, the whole volunteering piece, that they are receiving help from others, but boy, the ability to then turn around and to be able to provide help for someone else as well as receive it is a joy for them. And it's repeated over and over in our member testimonials. So that's been joyous for us as well.
Oh, I can imagine. I can just picture it and how, it, as you say, it really does replace the feel of a small community, a small village that used to exist in the old days when neighbor would help neighbor. And
yes,
people would be there for one another, but nowadays our living situations are just so fragmented and separated, that doesn't occur naturally. So I see how the village concept is really recreating that same sense and that same feel for people.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a little tougher for some of the villages like ours because we have a larger geographic area. The first village, Beacon Hill Village, in Boston was a very different geography from ours. It was a lot of high rises with folks who were familiar and had gotten the opportunity to get to know one another in apartments on the floors, so that the whole setup of high rises with many, many folks living in a building for many, many blocks, and it was 16 square blocks, was ideal for connectedness and for being in close proximity to others so you could go over and visit a little bit. Ours and many of the other villages is a very large geography, so you really are driving or being transported by some means to one another if you want to get together one-on-one. So our challenge has been larger perhaps in that respect than Beacon Hill Village, but we can meet it. And all the villages are meeting it very well, bringing people together to be able to recreate that feeling of village of old.
Now, do you have a physical location, like a community center or a place where people gather and meet?
We do. We are a kind of unique hybrid, we call it, of the village movement. We have a senior center. Actually, the senior center for Palo Alto called Avenidas has been here for about 45 years. And the program, Avenidas Village, is just one of seven programs that the senior center operates. And, of course, ours is the newest program. We are coming up, we are in our seventh year now, but that is the newest program of the senior center. And in addition to all of services that I have talked about and benefits of the village itself, and that is kind of common ground for all of the villages, we have, as Avenidas Village, here at Avenidas, the Senior Center, a whole range of other offerings that people can take advantage of in addition to being a village member. So there are a lot of health and wellness classes, there are lectures, there are fitness classes, there are speaker series, there is this whole social work department, all of these, as well as a day center, another one of the programs of Avenida. So all of these various support services we have really at our fingertips, because we're all in this same general area, and we are able, when we see a need that we are not able to meet ideally through the village, we are then connecting our members with some of these other support services that are part of Avenida's the senior center. So we have an ideal situation. So there are other villages that have sprung up that are similar, that have sponsoring organizations like senior centers. And then, of course, there are many villages that are standalone nonprofit organizations. And their challenge in that area is a little greater. But they have done a good job of putting programming, social programming together, and forming a lot of strategic partnerships with other community service organizations to be able, when a member needs a particular service that is not right there and part of the village, to be able to connect them easily to those community services.
So how does a community go about starting their own village? It's different in every community, but
exactly. That was what the thought that first came to mind for me. It's happened in a variety of different ways. But I think probably the ideal way is to get in touch with a village-to-village network. This is an organization that over the years has become larger and larger and more active. It's our closest thing to a kind of national organization for villages. And they would be able to go online to get into that particular website, which is vtvnetwork.org, and they would be able to then right online be able to get a sense of the villages that might be closest to them, not only be able to identify that village, but also get quite a bit of information about what that structure and what that particular organization looks like, and to talk to Village-to-Village Network about all of the early foundations, all of the first steps in going about creating a village, because there is a great deal of grassroots work for most of these villages that took place before that village actually launched, became operational. And one of the key elements, I would say, is a community of people, a group of people who see the value of this alternative and who feel passionately and strongly about a village and are willing to kind of get together and in an organized way decide how they're best going to create one of these villages for their community. And the Village to Village Network is a very, very helpful organization for them to call on to assist.
Well, it's such a great concept. I would love to see it spread like wildfire all across the country, and that's one of the reasons I really wanted to interview you, Vicki, just so that our listeners could learn more about it, because I honestly had never heard of the village concept until I just started I just Googled aging in place and started reading about it. So until I hadn't heard about it. And so I feel really excited at the possibility of spreading this concept and hoping that lots of people will be inspired to look into it in their own communities and seeing if there's a way to create a village, even at some level. I would imagine there are probably some that start out fairly small with fewer services.
Exactly.
And that can grow over time.
Exactly. There are all different the villages, as you spoke to initially, are as different from one another. There are some common elements in all the villages. But then, as you go to village to village, there are a variety of different benefits and services that they have developed that have responded to the needs of their particular community, so they can look very different from one another, but they're meeting the needs of their community, and that's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're as excited as you are about the possibility of, and these are growing, there is about probably between 95 and 100 operational villages in the country presently, and probably 150 that are more fledgling organizations, just small groups in developmental, in the early developmental stages, trying to get off the ground and decide upon those the launch dates.
So how do you get funding for the village?
In a whole variety of different ways. Ours, of course, came through the larger sponsoring organization. Many of the standalone nonprofit organizations have written grants, and there are for a variety of different foundations, a variety of different ways that they have received donor money. In addition to these villages have membership fees, they're member organizations, and they are renewed on an annual calendar date for the most part. And, of course, so members are paying annual fees, and, of course, many of the operating expenses are paid for through member fees as well. So I would say in the majority of cases, it is a combination of all of these revenues.
Okay. And so you have so you're like a hub for – you have members that are the vendors and the agencies that provide services, and then the client members of the village too. And so you – both of them pay dues to be
no,
members?
Just members, just the members who are part of the village. The
okay.
Vendors come to us, and there's no really no cost for the vendors to be part of our preferred provider directory. But what we do is turn back those, what we think of this as, is kind of turning back those discounted rates, being able to do that for our village members. So we're then, when a vendor comes to us, and as many have, we haven't had to seek out, initially we sought out vendors over as the as word of mouth spread and as people became more familiar with the village and the village concept, vendors then came to us. And we have put them through, as I say, a pretty stringent vetting process and negotiated discounts that they have, that they offer our members. But there is, other than that, there is no cost for them. So when I'm talking about fees, I'm talking about the member fees. Members pay a fee, an annual fee, in order to be part of the village.
Oh, okay. All right. Is there any type of, say, a scholarship program if a member couldn't afford the fee or...
For many of the villages, in fact, I would say probably the majority of the villages these days, there is what they call a kind of membership plus program, which is exactly that, a subsidized membership. And I think that that has been paid for most of the those villages through grants that they have received. In our particular village, we have always looked toward the time where we would be able to provide subsidized memberships. But at this point, we are not able to do that, though it seems to me that in the not-too-distant future, we will be in that position to do that. We have always, as one more program of our organization, of our sponsoring organization, Avenidas, really the idea or the mantra for us has been, this program, has been to be able to pay for ourselves, for in terms of direct costs, be able to pay for the village through our membership fees. And we are doing that. In terms of direct costs, we are, through our membership fees, really breaking pretty much even year after year. But the hope is that ultimately we will be able not only to pay for those direct costs, but also the indirect costs, and that when we get to that point, that will be the point at which we will be able to then look at some subsidized memberships as well. We may be a year or two away from that.
But that's a great idea, and once again, pointing out that you're constantly evolving the organization and growing as you see the need for it and figuring out how you solve various issues and problems that you're confronted with in the community.
Exactly.
Well, I was hoping, is there a story you could share with us about maybe one of the clients that has benefited from the services of your village?
Absolutely. I have many of those stories, and I'm thinking about ones that I think will be most illustrative. One that I talk about frequently is a member who joins. There have been many members who join mainly for social programming. They have come to us and they've said, you know, I'm really doing pretty well. I feel as if for the most part I'm getting my needs met, but over the years so many of my social contacts have either moved into retirement communities or they have passed away, and I'm really looking for some social stimulation, meet a whole new group of people. So they've really come to us for that element of the village, the social programming. And this was one member who had come for that very reason and was one of our younger members and had gone off on a social event actually in San Francisco. This particular village is located in Palo Alto, so some distance from San Francisco, gotten off the bus and just in a kind of freak way twisted her ankle a little bit and taken a fall. She broke her ankle and she was taken at that time to the services, you know, to health clinic services that were in the area, had that taken care of initially, you know, all the tests that needed to be done. And from there, she came back, and we heard about this. She was calling us and letting us know on her way back to Palo Alto. And she was going to, of course, need, we could see, someone to help her with a lot of the tasks that she was just going to need to get done. She was a single member. She's living alone. She had some steps in her condo, and so we started talking about putting a plan together that was going to meet all of the needs. So a home care agency that could come in and provide some service for her, some hours during the day, few hours a day, some durable medical equipment that was going to make it a little bit easier for her, a portable commode, a walker that she would be able to use on probably for at least 4 or 5 weeks before she got strong enough to be able to manage on her own with a cane. So we have a durable medical equipment closet, so that we were able to provide for her as well. And then to think about she had gotten quite active with the social group and gotten really familiar with a lot of the members. A social piece as well. Remember, perhaps some of our members who she had met and were in the friendly visiting group that could come over and just see how she was doing on the day to day and the week to week. And so we were able to network with those folks as well, to contact those folks as well and put them on a schedule to go over and stop over and see her, as well as these varieties of other providers that she was connected with. I'm thinking of a particular member, but that particular scenario has been repeated with some modifications in a variety of ways over the years.
Huh, that's a beautiful illustration of just how comprehensive the services are that you can end up providing. Because, you know, in so many different areas, from home health care and durable medical equipment to people to come and visit with her.
Exactly.
She's recuperating. And I can say in my days in the past working with home health and hospice, with so many patients, we were frustrated because we could offer some of the services that people needed, but we could always see gaps. We could always see other things that were needed that weren't covered under the services we were able to offer.
Yes.
For so many people. And so I really have the sense that the village fills in all the gaps and at least finds a way when there's a need,
exactly.
It finds a way to somehow meet those extra needs and have someone drop off some groceries and have someone stop by and visit for a while, and all the things that we used to struggle with when we were trying to figure out how do we provide all the care that someone needs.
question. Exactly. And that is always what we look at doing with every member. Every member has got an individual story and an individual set of needs and how best we're going to meet those needs. You know, oftentimes it is bringing in these service providers. They're great. They have wonderful discounted rates for the members and they provide, not only great quality services, but with a lot of kindness and exactly the way we want the services to be provided. But sometimes it's not a matter of a service provider. Sometimes it really is some creative problem solving that we're putting our heads together here to think about how we're going to meet this particular need. It's a little different than anything we've had before, but we ought to be able, through our volunteers or through one of these providers, to be able to meet that need. So creative problem solving goes into this as well. An interesting story, I think, of one member some time back who called us in the middle of the day, had just returned from a grocery visit. And it was here in downtown Palo Alto. He lives not far from where the senior center is located. And he got back to his home after getting his groceries, and he realized that his home during the broad daylight, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, had been broken into. He could see that a window was broken initially as he walked up the pathway. He could see that the front door was very badly damaged. He called, of course, the police initially to make that police report. But the second call that he made was to us, and to say, oh, and of course, that feeling of invasion, for anyone who's had something like this happen to them, is awful. So he was very upset. We were able to talk. We were able to listen to all of what he was feeling, et cetera, when he first called, be able to help in whatever ways we could in a speaker, in a kind of conference call, to listen carefully and to get to a more calming place where we could talk about how best to meet the need. He was very concerned that he was not going to be able to stay in the home overnight because the front door was so badly damaged. He wanted it to be secure. We were able to get a handyman out within the hour to come out, take a look, reassure him, do some repairs, and to secure it at least for the night to let him be able to stay in his home overnight and not to have to go to a hotel. The following day, we were able then to walk him through a number of different organizations to kind of get a better sense of what kind of repairs we're going to need, whether the door could be repaired or whether it was going to have a door replacement. As it turned out, we had a number of different people who did this kind of work, so he could get proposals for all of them. He decided upon a door, the replacement door, and we kind of walked him through the proposals, et cetera, for all of this. And so it was one of those examples of kind of creative thinking in terms of the handyman and then using the providers as well. Within a week, it was actually about 3 or 4 days. Everything was repaired. Things were at a much better place. And it's another example of what the village can do and how we operate to get our members to that feeling of safety once again, that feeling of peace of mind once again, whatever it takes to get there.
Oh, that's a perfect example of your creativity. And I was going to say, when you make a list of member benefits, I'm sure there'd be no way you could possibly list all of the benefits and all of the creative ways that you've met the needs of your members and provided for them simply because you're willing to do this problem solving in the moment and sit down and figure it out. And it sounds to me like there's no problem that's too great for you one way or another. You figure out something that you could offer.
That's right.
What a great sense of peace of mind that provides to know that as you get older and start to feel more vulnerable, to know that there's a whole team of people, a whole village of people on your side who are there for you and willing to help you.
Yes.
I just think it's beautiful.
And yes, we do too.
I want to remind the listeners that I'm talking to Vicki Epstein of Avenidas Village in Palo Alto, California, because those people listening might be saying, I wish that was in my town. I wish I had that in my community. And so I'm hoping that people will feel inspired. I would think starting a village like this could be a fantastic post-retirement endeavor for someone to take on, a group of people in a community who want to make life a little bit better for the elderly in their own community and find a way to create a village right where they're living. And so I'll also remind listeners that, Vicki, you were pointing out people can go to Village to Village Network online, VTV Network. Did I get that correct?
That's it, VTVnetwork.org. Absolutely. You got it right, Karen.
Okay, VTVnetwork.org. In order to get more information about how they might start their own village and their own community. And then I noticed, Vicki, on your website for Avenidas that you have a newsletter. Is that something that people outside of your community might benefit in? Are there articles or is there information in the newsletter that for the general public that others might want to sign up for?
The larger newsletter that the Senior Center, Avenidas, does a lot of wonderful articles, and it is a more sizable document than the document that we do at Avenidas Village. Avenidas Village is going to speak to exactly what's going on presently in the village for the last or upcoming 2 months, and tell all about the social events. We use our newsletter primarily in the village to give people all the particulars about the social events at the neighborhood level as well as cultural arts. So the larger social events as well. Probably the newsletter that comes out for the larger organization would have a lot of, as I say, some great issues articles in it, and is a great, a great resource piece.
Okay. So for those just looking for more information about aging in general or articles also probably about senior citizens and
exactly.
Okay. Is there any sort of in this the national movement toward villages, is there any type of a conference or a meeting that takes place for people who are working in villages to get together?
Yes, absolutely. There are a number of different conferences that go on during the year. The one that's upcoming is going to be held in St. Louis, and it is going to be held there, I believe, in November. And if you Google on certainly Village to Village Network has that information on it, but even if you Googled, I think, village and village conferences, you would probably get a lot of that information and documentation as well. But I think probably the specifics, the easiest way to go to that would be to go to that vtvnetwork.org. I think on that landing page, there's going to be information about the next conference coming up.
Because I was wondering if there were a group of people who were interested in starting a village, would it be worthwhile to attend a conference first just to get a
yes.
lot of information all at once and meet people and learn about it all in one place? So
yes, generally speaking, the conference is broken up into the initial days. It has been on in some of the conferences I'm thinking a day, and in some cases 2 days, where it was really meeting the needs of folks at that grassroots level who hadn't founded a village yet or launched a village yet, but who were at early stages and wanted to gain everything they needed to know. So all of the early preparatory work would be discussed and focused on in that day or that second day. Then that third day, fourth day, oftentimes were folks who were in operational villages, and there were a lot of speakers and presentations, of course, that were geared to villages and some of their challenges in an ongoing way. But generally speaking, there's usually a day that conference starts with for those folks who are interested in creating a village.
So
they need to do, the best place that I can refer them once again, is to that vtvnetwork.org.
Okay. Well, that's great. And I'm going to make sure that's listed in the workbook that everyone gets who signs up for this interview series so that they have all these resources and can refer to that website and learn about the conference. Well, Vicki, it's been just wonderful to talk to you about your work at Avanitas and just about the concept of aging in place and villages that are springing up around the country. And I'm wondering, is there anything else that that you'd like to say that I didn't ask you about? Anything else you'd like to add? Or
oh boy, we really touched on a lot of different areas. I guess only I would reiterate that this is an amazing alternative for people to have, and that there are ways, and fairly straightforward ways these days, to make this idea, and in some cases it sounded like a dream at one point, I think, but to make it a reality in your particular area, in your particular community. This can be done, and it can be done in at all different levels, in ways that really rely much more on volunteers than on service providers. That's actually a kind of subset of the villages, as I say, most of the services are provided through volunteers. So there are all kinds of ways in your community to be able to make this work. It just is a matter of, as I say, getting to the village-to-village network, seeing what's worked in some communities and worked better in others, and sorting it all out. And it is one great alternative for folks to have as they age and as they look toward what they're going to need in their lives to feel safe, secure, connected, and happy, happy, maintaining the same happiness and contentment and satisfaction that they had in their younger years as well, and independent, of course.
Oh, absolutely, which is what we all hope for our own parents and for ourselves as we grow older in life. And so you really are helping people live full lives all of their days. And
exactly.
A huge difference in those lives. Well, Vicki, I want to thank you not only for being here and being willing to share all this information with us, but in general just for the work that you're doing. It's really pioneering work, and I'm so excited about it and so impressed with you and your entire organization and what you're doing, and I want to thank you for bringing that to the world and now sharing it. So hopefully we'll see a lot more villages springing up all around our country.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, because we love sharing this concept and sharing this idea. It really is a wonderful alternative for folks to have.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Vicki, and thank you again for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. A pleasure on my part as well.
Take care.